النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, one of the single greatest challenges that humanity faces on the surface of this earth is the disintegration of the family unit. The inability of the parents to relate to their own children, and the inability of children to identify with the values of their parents. This has created such a huge divide, not only amongst Muslims, even amongst non-Muslims, to the extent that the family unit, the family unit is threatened. And we know that the building block of a stable, healthy, vibrant society is the family. If people within that unit are unable to relate with each other, are unable to find the solace and the peace, then we can hardly expect society to be stable or to be at peace with itself. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this family unit, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah has made your homes, this family that we operate within, husband, wife, children, parents, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, Allah has made it an abode of tranquility, an abode of peace. An abode, the family needs or ought to protect the individuals from the harsh realities of life. It is this family unit, that needs to serve as the shock absorber, as the haven, as the refuge, where people who, after doing battle and going through the day's work, come and find peace, come and find tranquility, come and find protection and solace within the family unit. Now, needless to say, that the most important role players within the family unit are the parents. It is the parents shape the values of the child. The parents shape, either consciously or unconsciously, the character of the child. The parents, through the treatment and bond they have with the children, determine the kind of confidence and self-esteem that the children will enjoy. So you can either lift, humanize, and breed a sense of self-esteem within members of the family, or you can dehumanize and bring down and breed children who do not have self-respect, self-esteem, who are confused about the values of the family, etc. So one of the most challenging aspects that we confront and we have to deal with is, what kind of relationship do we have with our children, no matter what their age is? How do we bond? How do we relate with our children? If I were to ask you, as parents or as fathers seated here, What is the most crucial and important lesson of life that you would want to give over to your children? What is it? What is the fundamental, the core of this relation? What is it that you need to transfer as a father to your children? What would it be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us back, a long while back, to the time of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. That were you, Allah is talking to us. He says, were you, all of us seated here, were you present when death approached Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam? Yaqub alayhi salam is on his deathbed. Allah is asking us this question. Were you present that time? In other words, Allah wants to erase the passage of time and re-emphasize what we spoke last week, that the lessons of history are not abstract events that took place in the past. They have enormous lessons for us, and therefore Allah is addressing us as if we were present at the time that Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was on his deathbed, almost asking us to, you know, jog our memories, bring back what has happened at that time. And Allah says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Were you present when death hovered over Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam? He gathered his sons. This was the last advice that he could impart to his sons. If you had that opportunity, you on your deathbed, your wife and your children are around you, and you have one last opportunity to give them advice, what would it be? What would you tell your children as your last words in this world? What you tell your children at that time, it determines your aspirations, your values. And let us see what Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam asked his children, or advised his children at that time. So Allah says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاء إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Were you present when death came and Yaqub was now about to leave? His children are around him. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ. Do you remember when he told his sons, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. What are you going to worship after me? In other words, how grounded are you in your faith? How convinced are you of the existence of Allah and His powers? Are you going to lead your life within that kind of belief? That is what he asked, and that is what Allah is asking us. How much of energy have you invested? How much of time have you spent with your children, entrenching this cardinal reason for their existence? The relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is belief in Allah, and one is to develop that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam asked his children to reflect on. What is your relationship with your Creator? You believe in your Creator. But what kind? How deeply do you bond with your Creator? So it is said that the function of a parent is to give two things to a child. One is to develop a relationship with your children that would give them roots. And the other is to develop a relationship that will give them wings. What do we mean when we say that your challenge as a parent is to give your children roots? They need to be firmly, you know, the roots of a towering tree, embedded deep within the bowels of the earth. Those roots are your faith, a conviction of the ever-presence of Allah, the might of Allah, the power of Allah, a realization, a constant awareness of why you are in this world. Roots also encompass your culture, your values, your beliefs. And the other challenge of parents is to give their children wings. Give them that self-esteem. Give them that self-belief. Give them that guidance that they can reach their full potential. And in doing so, Allah takes us back to a discourse, a discussion that Luqman the wise, Luqman was a sage, a very pious sage, who was given the option by Allah to either live as a king and rule justly over a place, or choose wisdom. And he chose the latter. And that is why he's called Luqman the Wise. He had this discussion with his son. And it has so many profound, so many lessons for us, that entire discussion is recorded in the Quran for us, as parents and as children. So Allah says, Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah introduces this discussion by saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. Remember, when Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam spoke to his son whilst advising him, and he began by saying, يَا بُنَيَّ. Ya, Luqman did not address his son by his name. But he in fact addressed him by saying, O my beloved son. And the scholars determine a very, very important lesson from the way the father addressed the son or a child. If you want to teach your child, if you want your child to listen to you, your first challenge is to address your child in a manner that will create a desire within him, a manner that will reinforce his own self-esteem. And that's why Luqman did not address his son and say, Ya Muhammad, or Ya Ibrahim, or Ya Ismail. He addressed his son by saying, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son. And as parents, we need to be asking that very difficult question. How often do we address our children with that kind of emotion? How often do we express this kind of emotion to our children? Well, that we love you. We appreciate your existence. You mean so much to us. And that is the first lesson Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us in his discourse with his son. He then goes on to say that لا تشرك بالله. First advice he gave his son, that, oh my son, your first lesson in life is not to ascribe partners with Allah. He didn't say that do not reject the existence of Allah. He said, oh my son, my beloved son, do not ascribe partners unto Allah. That is very different from saying, do not reject the existence of Allah. Ascribing partners to Allah happens in different ways. One is where people physically ascribe a partner to Allah. So they worship more than one deity. And that is known as ashirk al-akbar, the gravest form of shirk. But there is a second form of ascribing partners to Allah. And that is ascribing partners to the attributes of Allah. One is to the being of Allah, where people worship more than one deity. The other is to ascribe partners to the attributes of Allah, where you believe that I will find honor in other than the laws of Allah, where you believe that justice will be found in other than the law of Allah, where you believe that submission to any other than Allah will give you more satisfaction and contentment, where you believe that izzat comes from other than Allah, or your sustenance comes from other than Allah, your nobility and your prosperity would come from forces other than Allah. And Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is entrenching this belief in his son, that, oh son, your prosperity, your adversity, your wealth, your poverty, your nobility, all of it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ever lose sight of that fact. He then goes on to say, Allah adds a verse between the advices that Luqman is giving his son, where he says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, that we advised human beings, man, regarding their parents. This was a dialogue between a father and son, and in between this dialogue, Allah switches and says, what about you as a son? What is your relationship with your father? Remember that the hearts of your parents are your generators. As long as they are pleased with you, they will generate tranquility in your lives. The day that your parents are displeased with you, you would stop. The first consequence of that displeasure is that you lose the tranquility. You lose inner peace and contentment. So Allah changes the topic briefly and says, do not ever forget the relationship you ought to have with your parents. And then Allah says, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And that is now part of the advice of Luqman to his son. This is very significant. He says, follow, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ, the path of مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْ, of those who repeatedly turn towards me, towards Allah. In other words, Be very conscious of your company and your role models. The most powerful means of transformation is through role models. People try and ape and mimic soccer players, film stars, musicians. What happens in trying to mimic how they dress, how they behave, how they talk? You lose your own identity. You lose your own values. You lose who you are. And Luqman alayhi salatu salam's advice to his son is, be careful who you associate with and be careful who you mimic, who your role models are. He then goes on, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam addresses his son and says, Ya bunayya, O my beloved son, innaha intaku mithqala habbati min khardal, that if there was a seed, a grain, as small as that of a mustard seed, an atom, فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ, which was lodged in a hard rock, أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, or is floating in space, an atom, in this vast space, أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, or if this atom was deep, lodged deep down in the bowels of the earth, يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهِ, Allah is able to produce it. Allah is aware of its presence. Allah is aware of the location of every atom within this vast universe. And Allah is going to bring that to the fore. What Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching his son here is two things. One is the power of Allah. The power of Allah, and two is a sense of accountability. No matter where you are, you have to take responsibility of your actions. No matter who you are, you're going to be held responsible for what you say and what you do, because Allah is well aware of your actions. So Luqman alayhi salam's lesson or advice to his son was that of accountability. If you are aware of accountability, it breeds responsibility. If you are aware of responsibility, you now develop discipline. And that is what Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is entrenching in his son through this advice. Be aware that you are going to be accountable. You are going to give account, you are responsible for your actions. Not your father, no one else but you. You are an individual and you're going to be held accountable for what you say. He then goes on to say, Ya bunayya aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'roof. O my beloved son, establish the prayer. Establish salah. If you want to talk to Allah, you can talk to Allah through salah. And if Allah talks to you, if you want Allah to talk to you, Allah talks to you through the Quran. So salah is your dialogue with your Creator. Salah is going to give you, Allah says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. That salah has that power of purifying you from your ills, your weaknesses as a human being, whatever they may be. If you are devout and if you perform salah with its requisites, it's a means of self-reformation. It reforms, a sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, so and so prays the whole night, but in the daytime he's guilty of theft. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Salatuhu tanhahu, his salah will eventually enable him and empower him to stay away from that vice. So salah is a means of self-reformation. And that is what Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam advised his son, that through salah you will, you'll have this dialogue with your creator. Through salah you will be able to address your human weaknesses, etc. Unfortunately, our time is up. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillah.